If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Drop your shoulders, take a breath, tune in to how you feel, because it's time to stretch. Hello and welcome back to a new season of Stretch Marks podcast. My name is Sinead O'Moore and I created Stretch Marks to give us all an opportunity to acknowledge the parts of life that are stretching us in all directions. Not just the physical, but the mental, emotional, hormonal, professional, financial, identity, partnership, energetic stretches we all go through. Because there is no right or wrong, there is no picture perfect, there are just a series of stretches, one after the other, that leave their mark. This episode is sponsored by Carrywell, maternity wear that makes breastfeeding and pregnancy as comfortable as possible. Carrywell is the support we need with their maternity and nursing underwear, made specifically for our growing needs before, during, and after pregnancy. Embrace the stretch of motherhood confidently with Carrywell and this podcast.
We are just days out from two referendums designed to evolve the language of family and care within our constitution to align with a modern reality. The intention of the family amendment is to evolve the definition of a family beyond that of marriage to one of a durable relationship. As it stands, the constitutional protection is only afforded to families founded through marriage, considered the norm in 1937. But this excludes families that are not married, single parent families, unmarried, cohabiting couples, or perhaps even grandparents who are guardians, from being recognised. A yes vote would mean different types of family units would have the same constitutional rights and protections while not impacting the marriage as an institution or its current protections. A no vote would leave the wording of the constitution as it is, and families existing outside of marriage would continue to have no constitutional protection, but with many arguing that the term durable relationships is too undefined. The CARE Amendment proposes the removal of references to the role of women in the home. The aim is to have these replaced with a broader recognition of the care provided by all family members, genders, or generations. The CARE Amendment proposes deleting the current article, which reads, "The state recognises that by her life within the home, woman gives to the state a support without which the common good cannot be achieved. The state shall, therefore, endeavour to ensure that mothers shall not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labour to the neglect of their duties in the home." And insert a new article which reads, "The state recognises that the provision of care by members of a family to one another by reason of the bonds that exist among them, gives to society a support without which the common good cannot be achieved, and shall strive to support such provision." A yes vote would remove what could be argued as outdated language from the Constitution, reinforcing a more modern, inclusive nation that strives to treat and care for all its people equally. A no vote leaves the wording as it is, while some argue that this article should not change as it holds the government to its responsibilities to provide care, others argue that the wording does not go far enough. Confusion, distrust, ambiguous language, fear, noise and more has led to just 22% of those that took part in my polls confident that they know how they will vote, and that is a huge gap to close. I've invited Sonia Lennon to join me in this episode to discuss the concerns and opportunities for progress. I wanted Sonia because I trust her and her work in creating Work Equal, a not-for-profit that champions workplace equality and fair remuneration for all. Her mission, I believe, is honourable and has been so transformative for all genders, and so I wanted to hear what she has to say and why she has decided to be an advocate of the Yes Yes campaign for the National Women's Council. Sonia Lennon, you are somebody who I have wanted to talk to on this podcast for many, 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 many reasons, namely just your style and your grace and your competency and your business acumen. But also, I really genuinely believe that you have had such a positive impact on pushing a very strong, empowered, confident female agenda. And for that, I felt like you were the ideal person to talk to about this upcoming referendum.
Thank you. Well, you got me, so that's good news. All you had to do was ring. So, I'm delighted to be here with you and delighted to be on your podcast and delighted to be discussing such a hot potato of a topic today. It's not easy. It's not an easy discussion. I think it's referenda are tough, always tough. And I think where we are now in our society, in our discourse, in our pain, is going to make it tougher, I think. And it's causing a lot of schisms between people, and but we can talk all about that.
I come from this from a position of when I heard what was being proposed in a very vague sense, when it comes to, you know, a phrasing around, oh, there's going to be a referendum to remove that women should be in the home. That kind, when we were at that level of detail, my initial impulse for where I'm at in probably my generation, probably my own personal circumstances, I'm like, yes, I am for that. I'm all for that. That lands directly into who I am and what I'm here to try and do. And of course, the Constitution, written when it was written, does not reflect today. And of course, it should consistently evolve with the reality of where we're at. All of those things are like native to within me. And yet I can also say that in the last number of weeks, I feel that my sources of voices has become quite polarized. It's become quite noisy. I'm sensing, like, I will explain it in that in the most recent referendum that have occurred in Ireland, there was a real genuine excitement and motivation for change and collective. And if you weren't part of it, you had a strong belief to not be part of it, and you weren't for changing. In this one, I genuinely feel like we've lost the room. It's not coming together. In fact, it's getting muddied, and the confusion is leading people to greater levels of inertia. It's like we're all too busy. It's like, oh my God, that's too complicated. I can't get my head around it and I'll come back to it later. We're recording this a week out. I did some polls on my Instagram. 3% of the women, bearing in mind that the women that follow me and take part in these polls are exactly who this is supposed to be designed to support, only 3% said that it's clear to them what we're being asked, and we're 1 week out. That frightens me.
Yeah, no, it frightens me too. And I am working with the National Women's Council and the Yes Yes campaign, and I believe in it. And I have been part of the process to get us to this point. Through the work that we do with Work Equal, we were called as expert witnesses to the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Gender Equality. We inputted. I have seen the huge amount of work that has gone into getting the wording to where it is. It is not perfect in the same way that when we had a referendum for divorce in this country, that wasn't perfect either. And people were saying they were going to vote no because having to wait 5 years was too long. But that's a sort of a self-defeating argument. And I kind of feel there are very strong similarities now with the Yes, Yes campaign. For me, it's progress. For me, it is an acknowledgement of an acknowledgement of care, actually, in its broadest sense. For example, my father cared for my mother with dementia for 10 years in his own home. He is not acknowledged by the state. And actually, it's not about me. Nobody could stop me from doing anything that I want to do ever. It's not about me. And I think referenda are not about the individual. They're about the state that we have, the culture and the society that we create through the tenets in the Constitution, and then beyond through our words and actions and how we behave. And for me, the language that exists right now is archaic and not fit for purpose. And the huge amount of work that has gone to get the new proposed language to where it should be, I see it as progress. I really do, even though it's not perfect. And I think voting no means you're happy with what's there. Like, that is what you're actually doing. You're saying it's better to have it as it is than to make progress. And I think that where we find ourselves now in society, people are hurt and hurting. There's the cost of living crisis, global conflict, pain and horror on our screens. And then, you know, let's be clear about this, the rise of the right throughout the whole world. And I believe that the people who have written this in coalition together, the wording, have got it to where it can go right now. And I believe it is more fit for purpose than what we have. And that's my position in terms of the definition of a family. For me, that's not even an issue. But I think, and I understand why you're getting the polling numbers that you're getting from your intelligent audience, because there is confusion in there. And there is, you know, there's a problem. We know that, you know, the majority of political parties are for Yes, Yes. There are people in there who I trust, who I believe this is a very well-intentioned referendum. And I don't know what we can do a week out to help people to feel informed. You know, this has been run through the legal mill for both sides. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you can make a legal interpretation that both supports and conflicts with this, that's going to add to the confusion as well, you know?
I think that there's, look, you've touched on it. There's a lot of things that are happening. I think we are living in a time where trust is at an all-time low. And the global situation is having an impact on that. I feel like a lot of the messages that I received were also related to the fact that they don't trust how any system works anymore. You know, and that is playing into it, that we can't solve right now. And nor can we even attempt to say that this referendum is designed to solve any of that. We need to kind of, I think, compartmentalize a little bit. If we are to, how I've tried to do it is if I'm trying to find clarity to the situation, I have to decompartmentalize and say, well, look, I'm reading the text and I'm asking myself, what's my interpretation of this? Which is leading then to the second layer of problem, in that people have a real concern around some of the language, the durable relationships, the striving. And look, we've all seen a lot of the debates on that. But one of the things that has stuck with me from the polls and the responses that have come back is there is a real lack of understanding about what are the tangible changes to people's lives as a result of this constitutional change. But that message isn't landing. So if it does change, if a yes, yes, or even just a yes in either camp is brought forward, what actually changes for the people that currently are outside of the constitutional grouping?
So I think what this is, because I remember reading the government, little light bedside reading, government strategy for care.
Mm-hmm.
And the first line of it was this strategy is to be delivered at a cost neutral, cost neutral basis, which meant that basically, if you're not going to support something, it's not going to get the oxygen to thrive. And I think this is the beginning of reform around an understanding of the importance of care in our society. And I know I read an argument from a woman who was voting no around the fact that it is women who do the care. Mm-hmm. It is and it is a recognition. Voting no is a recognition that women do the care. Well, I'm sorry, but my vision for equality is one where we can move beyond where we are right now, because quite frankly, it isn't working, where we can give men permission to be part of the solution for caring and domestic care, or domestic duties. And if it's there in black and white in our constitution that it's not their job, you know, that how are we ever going to move on? How are we ever going to progress? And you know, I went to Iceland with the cross-party Oireachtas committee for gender equality on a study trip, and Iceland have been the most equal country in the world for the last 10 years. And the mood, I actually wrote an opinion piece for the Irish Times about it, the mood on the street, the conversations, the interactions between men and women was palpably different. Palpably different. And the change was that the men were comfortable and confident and secure in their position. That sense of performative maleness was gone. And these are men who, under law, share early child care duties. Under law. And if you as a man in Iceland do not take part in your duty for early years childcare, you're a social pariah.
Mm.
You know, like that's the vision, right? The vision is that we unlock the ability for anybody to take up that role. That it isn't guarded because we do it anyway. So we want to, you know, we might as well be announced as that because we're the ones doing it. I think we're better than that, and I think we're heading in the right direction to be better than that. And it's over there as well. The document that came out of the JOC on gender equality, which is called Unfinished Democracy. I'd actually really encourage people to read it, to refer to the language that would have been preferable if it hadn't had to be compromised into a slightly different box, but to actually look at the vision that has been created by us, the citizens of Ireland, for a better Ireland for everybody. Not just women, everybody. Because when you have a society where equality is the baseline, everybody thrives.
Our bodies are designed to grow. They stretch and soften in ways that we are told we should reject and shame, when really, they are doing the most amazing job. And it is okay to also want to reclaim your confidence, to encourage good posture, to create shape and support beyond birth for as long as you choose. The Carrywell Back to You collection features a seamless shapewear nursing top and organic cotton belly binder, both designed to hold you as you recover, support your lower back, improve your posture, and create smooth lines on those days that you want that extra confidence. Embrace the stretch of motherhood confidently with Carrywell, available to buy now on cleverclogs.ie, and check out your nearest stockist. Do you feel like we can't get there? We can't get to a legal position where men have that legal right in the way that we don't right now. Okay, so from a maternity leave perspective, you know, we know that we have criminally low paternity leave rights in comparison. We know that we're heading in a direction where women should be equal, if not higher, on the income range. And why should she be the person that's forced out of work, making the joint family income actually be the thing that to suffer for that extended period at home because he can't get the leave and all of those issues? Do you feel like we cannot get there unless we change the wording within the Constitution?
I do. I really do. And that is the key driver for me from my position and working with, you know, thousands of people, hundreds of companies. And I see it. And we all see it in the cultures, in the workplaces. There's this horrible term called the WIMP penalty. Mm. And it has been, I think it's coined by Deloitte or McKinsey or something like that. And it is this kind of condition of how men are perceived if they are seen to take up caring duties. Like,
wow.
What? What?
Wow. So not only do we have the motherhood penalty,
yeah,
we now have the gender equivalent being the WIMP penalty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's horrendous, right? And so we need to we need to evolve a little bit more than that. And I see it in the discourse around the referendum. This is about opening up the right for anybody to be in the home or out of the home, in the home, out of the home, regardless of gender, regardless of, you know, it's an opening. For me, it's an opening, and it's a change to the fundamental language around whose job it is to care.
I'd like to read what currently it is. Okay. In particular, the state recognizes that by her life within the home, woman gives to the state a support without which the common good cannot be achieved. The state shall therefore endeavour to ensure that mothers shall not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labour to the neglect of their duties in the home. Now, there's a couple of things in there, as I said at the beginning of this, that rile me to my core. And I understand when it was written. Okay. And therefore, I'm like, yes, this is progress. This is change. I don't want that to be the constitutional position of women and mothers. However, then there's a part of me that says, why couldn't they have been inclusive in their language as opposed to removing, you know, like recognizes that the carer within the home. Part of me is also saying, okay, did they explore anything that was a little bit more inclusive as opposed to deleting? And the second thing being that the deletion of that endeavor to ensure that mothers shall not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labor to the neglect of their duties in the home. Like, yeah, the whole neglect of their duties piece obviously gets my blood boiled. But there is a security in that language that makes people feel like they have protection if they so choose to want to be in the home. And there is a fear emerging, definitely from the comments that I've received, that by deleting that somehow they will now be forced, whether there is economic necessity or not, to reverse this, to engage in labour outside of the home. That they will now not be protected as carers within, but actually it's like, no, we all must participate in our workforce endeavours and increase our productivity as a nation, and out you go. That's a genuine fear that is coming through. And I feel again, and look, it's not up to you or I to have phrased any of this, but surely there could have been a way to minimize some of those concerns. I want to read what it will become. The government is proposing these two sections should be removed, and what we'll have is the state recognizes that the provision of care by members of a family to one another by reason of the bonds that exist among them gives to society a support without which the common good cannot be achieved, and shall strive to support such provision. It's the shall strive that's really getting to people, because we are removing that they will not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labour. Again, as I said, it's not up to you or I to say what should have been changed to. But I do actually understand where some of those fears may be coming from.
Yeah, I wasn't in the room either when the language was created. So it's very, very hard to understand all steps that got us here. To me, that just doesn't feel like the intention of the language is to create forced labor out of the home. And I know that for example, the National Women's Council have run this legally in terms of the potential negative ramifications, and are supporting it. I know for a fact that if there was a danger of this becoming a reality, that we wouldn't find ourselves in this position. I wouldn't be voting yes. I wouldn't be looking to the people who I trust to give their legal judgment, to input into this language, to come up with the best language as a progressive alternative to what's there. I wouldn't be here having this message. So, and I know they wouldn't either. So it's very hard to say. And I think looking back over what it should have been, we're not there.
I think people are scared to vote for something and then it's kind of like one bite of the cherry. So we'll have made change, may not be the full vision of change. And again, and I'm saying this from a position of the people that have participated in these polls, 92% welcome a constitutional change to include the different dynamics of family and the different representation of family. And in no way are they voting here and using their voice to be in any way exclusionary of men or single mothers or of any kind of way that a family unit exists with love. No, there's none of that. And yet they are still feeling like, oh, I don't know, should I vote for that? Because I don't think that that is actually still what I want the Constitution to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, Sinead. I'm really concerned that this won't pass. I'm really concerned that people don't understand it. I don't know what to say.
Let's talk again about, so I understand the future gender equality, the future gender workforce legality, and how that could start here. Could you tell me more about, at a real life level? So for instance, for your dad, your experience of him being that carer, what would have changed at a real level, whether that be just that he feels included or legally he would have different entitlements? What would have changed if this had been in place then?
I think it's more about the progression on supports that would have recognised him. I met with Minister O'Gorman maybe 3 weeks ago, and there is so much in the pipeline in terms of policy reform, in terms of supports. And that's where I really see the imperative to move this forward, to recognise carers in all their dimensions, because I think the state is finally seeing, like, if it were me, if I was the Minister for Finance, I would have unpaid caring duties as a line item in GDP, because this country cannot function without all carers in all shapes and sizes. They are the fundamental lifeblood of our society and our economy. And I know, again, from the unfinished democracy document that came out of the Citizens Assembly, the state are recognising that a move towards a more equitable society, and one in which unpaid duties are acknowledged and provided for, that's there. That is the direction of travel.
And it should be said that it's not just the Women's Council, but that the carers' associations are also, they're calling for a yes on this motion as well. And then, of course, then there are voices of the individual carers who seem to be speaking out and saying, no, this doesn't support them or change things for them.
And yes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think you can and I think that's what's so confusing for people in this case, that, you know, how can one carer be for it and one carer be against it? How can one mother be for it and one mother be against it? And I think it kind of messes with our head a little bit in terms of, you know, the human aspect of it. And I think you're absolutely right that the outputs of this are much less tangible than previous referenda, you know? So what does it mean? What's the point of it? And I think from my understanding of it, it is supportive of the direction of travel, of where we're going as a country. And I see it in the conversations, in the upcoming policies, in the supports, in where we want to get to. Even, you know, okay, I know we're going to touch on childcare. Like if not one of the biggest issue of our time in terms of, and that is the piece that really, really impacts women at the moment, because women are doing the burden of care in our society. And there have been some wins. There are more to come. It's you know, and that's the problem. Progress is slow. It moves over time, it iterates, it evolves, it just doesn't happen overnight. And I think this referendum is a really good example of that.
I also think it's a really good example of, you need to give people a tangible proof of positive change. And I think taking that example of the childcare crisis, you know, and it's not the changes that are happening, if you are in that childcare system, are either resulting in the closure of where you are because they can no longer run on the government funded scheme and they're just saying I'm out, or they're pulling out and they're passing on the cost to the parents, which is making them even more financially drained, and one parent is choosing potentially that they just cannot afford it. Okay, so we're in a position where they're also, that same cohort is looking at the decision to run this referendum at a cost of somewhere between 16 and 18 million and saying, why was that not put into a tangible support right now that could keep my childcare open in this year and next year, the years to come? Like, and that's where I feel like, and again, I'm not asking you this from a position of that it's in any way your job, but I want to explore your thoughts on it, because it is so frustrating for people to feel like, yes, I like change. I want us to evolve. I want us to move to better places. But we can't be fixing the future if right now needs such attention.
Yeah. Look, there's a lot wrong. There's no, across all of our society, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. The childcare crisis. You're absolutely right. It is brittle. It is broken. And women are suffering. So yeah, I mean, all I can say is that I do believe that this is indicative of an evolving process that will eventually improve, but it's not moving fast enough.
And I think that's where the lack of trust comes in, unfortunately. And again, I'm speaking from a position of, me, the person, wants this. Like, I want to see this constitutional change to better represent an equal society, to better represent the fact that my partner, a man, is just as required in this home as I am. And I'm disappointed almost that the referendum is being called at a time where I feel like there's too many reasons to poke holes in the barrel of trust, and to really see, and I miss the vision about this referendum. I feel like the vision hasn't landed. I feel like that swell of, you know, think of the referendum of the past, where we were all going out that day. It was almost like a real mark. Like, I'm gonna put my stamp on this piece of paper that shows where my ethics and my vision for an Ireland is. And I'm disappointed that, for many reasons, whether that is to do with how the government maybe have communicated, or the language that they've chosen, or just unfortunates of global and national timing, the that swell isn't there. It could have been different. And I don't know what needs to happen in the next 7 days, but something has gone awry. And I'm for those that genuinely feel, and I've seen them on the debates, I've seen them on the, you know, on the TV shows at 10 o'clock, whatever, you know, from the National Women's Council and from the carers and the voices that are saying yes. And I see it in their eyes that they want to feel like this constitution includes them. They genuinely want to feel that. And I don't want people to vote no and them to think it's because the majority excludes them.
And that's that. That is the real worry, you know, that it is that the no vote is a vote for exclusion.
Yeah. And yet I don't believe it is. But I think that's how it will be conveyed or understood. I think the no vote might be a vote of confusion or fear. Or just too much ambiguity, durable relationships and striving, just too much ambiguity. I think it'll be a vote against loose language and not actually designed to exclude anybody. Thank you for your time, though, and thank you for your deep consideration. I mean this because I think that people need to understand the years of work that goes into something like this. The years of consideration and work, and the years of you know, traveling to countries that have made progress and with a deep desire to bring it here.
Lots and lots of man and woman hours into this. It's yeah, I look, I hope we pass it. That's all I'll say. I really do, because I think we have a progressive culture in this country, and I think we need to own it, rubber stamp it, and force change. And that's, you know, that's part of my work, is to force change, keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. You know, draw attention to the fact that it is not working, it's not fit for purpose, and it's particularly not fit for purpose for women.
Yeah, I can absolutely agree with that. We do need to progress. We do need change. We do need to have our voices heard. I encourage people to vote. My other concern is that I feel like there will be a really low turnout. I think for anybody that is listening and is still confused, I would encourage you to just genuinely read the text.
Listen, yeah,
Read the
absolutely.
text in detail and ask yourself if you want the Constitution to currently remain with what it says. You know, does the do ask yourself, does that need to
Are you happy
change?
with the status quo? I think is a big question to ask.
And if your answer is no, that doesn't sit right with me, then you need to explore your next question of which way you're going to go. But I think it is on us. I mean, one of the things that came through to me certainly was only 22% are confident how they're going to vote 1 week out. That's a big percentage. Please just educate,
I think
read
that's a
and
big message.
listen
That's it.
and educate.
And read both sides of the
Yeah.
debate. You know, understand your position, whatever it is. And, you know, like when I put up the first post about voting yes, and supporting the yes vote, somebody came onto my Instagram, DM'd me, and said, "I am bitterly disappointed. I was such a fan of yours. I love what you do, and now you're coming out, and I can't support you." And like I said to her, thankfully, we live in a democracy where you have as much right to hold your opinion and vote with your heart as I do. I don't ever want to not be in this country, in that state. I respect your vote. It is your position. You believe it. It is incumbent on us to educate ourselves, to not say I was confused. And you've said that your audience is bright, smart, engaged, savvy women.
Mm-hmm.
They're all the things you need to educate yourself, to understand, to not be confused. Don't let anybody else disempower you from the information you need to vote the way that's right for you, whatever that might be. One last little thing, I think, is to think about the referendum for what it is.
Mm.
It is for our country, not for the individual. And I think that's really, really important. We're voting as a country, for what's right for the country, not because of me or you.
Mm.
It's actually more to do with everybody else.
Thank you for all of the work that you do outside of this referendum, including this referendum. I genuinely mean it. You have been such a strong voice for women when it comes to our endeavours in the workplace, and whether that was at the very origins of when you were organising for clothes to help people feel empowered as they're going to their, you know, interviews. How many years ago even was that? And that was just so groundbreaking and really smart.
And actually, that is just to say, Work Equal, as it's now called, is 12 years old. And for any of your listeners who need the support to be more confident to go to work, if that's what they want to do, Work Equal is a free service. We offer free clothing, free career guidance, free HR skills to succeed at interview. If that's the journey that you're on, or if you're ready to go back into the workplace, having been out of the workplace, come and talk to us, make an appointment, workequal.ie. You will not be charged a penny, and you will walk away with clothing for interview. If you get the job, you'll get a workwear wardrobe. You will get mentorship and guidance and support, kindness and respect. And that is the hallmark of what we do in Work Equal. So please tell people who are listening, who might know somebody who could use that support. The more women we serve, the happier we are, the better we are as a society.
Which is exactly why I wanted your voice to be part of this conversation, because it is that mission that you hold. That is something that I trust. Thank you for your time. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for helping to rise us up.
A joy, an absolute pleasure. Thank you. And thank you for asking me.
Thank you for listening to this episode. There are some great resources out there to help you find clarity. I've linked some in the show notes. I encourage us all to empower ourselves with information and to use our vote. As always, please do share, tag, rate, and review to help this reach those that would love to listen. Talk to you again next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.